This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, everyone. Happy Wednesday, and welcome to the Sports Ethos Fantasy MLB Today podcast. I'm Nathan Baker, as you've heard the last couple Wednesdays. You'd have heard Anthony yesterday. You'll hear me again tomorrow. As Anthony mentioned, he's on a road trip, enjoying a hopefully fruitful vacation. So you'll find me, as always, on the pickup pieces on Thursdays, on my feature pieces every Friday. You'd have seen the Brent Rooker piece, the Lease Robert piece. We'll have another one that I'll discuss later today. Follow our account at Sports Ethos Fantasy Baseball, of course, at Ethos Fantasy BB. And you can follow myself at NBAKERNGP. That's NBAKERNGP. And of course, check out our work on the site as a whole. We have Larry doing the weekly weather pieces, Anthony, Paul, Jeff, and many others posting great content over there. And of course, the football side's getting ramped up. So for your fantasy football interests, for those who are really into doing mocks this early, go for it, get prepared, and get ready to make some money, as you, I'm sure, have been with Major League Baseball as well. So I'm just to recap the last few days in baseball for someone like myself, a Mets fan, seeing grimace everywhere. Unfortunately, not acquirable in fantasy baseball yet. Acquirable in the ways that you can change your team name to something grimace related. Even as someone who's so culturally tone deaf to everything McDonald's, I've grown an appreciation for the guy that somewhat changed our season, or at least appears to have changed our season, amongst with other things, including the return of Francisco Alvarez, which is part of our itinerary, which, of course, we'll first go through the starters mentioned yesterday by Anthony. I'll go through the guys to stream, the guys to fade. And I want to talk a little bit about unquantifiable aspects of player evaluation at the end on a little special piece, part of which I'll mention the effect of someone like Francisco Alvarez, which will lead into my piece on Friday. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, BetOnline, per usual. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, that's promo code BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. So just to go through the stream options for yesterday. Anthony liked quite a few, most of whom I like as well. Sean Manaea against the Rangers, he mentioned, who has improved his walks well. Kyle Gibson against the Marlins. He noted more disdain for the Marlins offense, who, to be fair, did put up 9 runs yesterday, so that's one to keep an eye on. Hunter Brown for the White Sox, which in my view is the best of them all. Slam dunk pickup if he's available. Brian Bello against the Blue Jays. Tyler Anderson against the Brewers. Matt Waldron against Philly. and his one fade being Taj Bradley against the Twins, which is massive home run potential. If you're into betting the team under over home runs, Minnesota's over might not be a bad look the way that they've been swinging it. But I agree with most of Anthony's points. The one that I would swerve that he mentioned is Tyler Anderson against the Brewers. Personally, I see Anderson as a ticking time bomb. But Milwaukee, honestly, I could see the team to light him up. So I would avoid personally Anderson. But we'll see. He's had good results this year. He's had good results recently. At the end of the day, that matters for something. He knows how to pitch. And we'll see whether he's able to get it done against the Brewers, who have obviously been very good this year. Although, for those that didn't see, check out that catch made by Sal Frelick to save the game for Milwaukee. To save a game-tying home run from Taylor Ward in the ninth inning off McGill. But anyways, to talk about our Thursday streamers, we don't have a ton, particularly from a positive aspect, and I should note that five teams still haven't announced their starting pitchers. So for those, as they come out, I'll tweet about them on my personal account, at NBakerNGB. That's at NBakerNGB for my takes when those come out. But for the ones that we have today, the obvious choice, if he's available, is Mackenzie Gore. I spoke about him last week. I recommended him as a streamer last week. He had a great game, struck out 10. He's right on that cusp of that 65% on Yahoo that we will mention for streamers. So if you're in any of those leagues with Mackenzie Gore, you should add him. And honestly, not as a streamer, as someone to keep. He's a fantastic pitcher. He's one to keep long term. As far as streamers, there's a few options with caveats. Ryan Nelson is pitching for the D-backs against Washington, and Washington's offense has cooled off a little bit after a great couple weeks. They just got shut out by the D-backs yesterday. Slade Ciccone, whose name I can never get right on the first attempt, threw six scoreless against them. And Nelson doesn't have that different of a repertoire, so that's one to look at. Now, Nelson, truthfully, has not been great this year at all. The whip is high, all of the peripherals are poor, and that's where, you know, the matchup's good, the timing's good, the opponent's good. Don't necessarily love the pitcher, per se. A little bit of the opposite would be Simeon Woods-Richardson, where I like the pitcher. I don't like the matchup. Simeon Woods-Richardson is a tough one because given the fact that Tampa has been swinging it well, especially against righties, against someone like Woods-Richardson, who I love. I have loved Woods-Richardson for years, ever since he was in the Mets farm system. I remember the involvement of the Stroman trade with him and Anthony Kay, and worried about losing him, although he's had some up-and-down time, losing Velo, gaining it back now. But he got hit around by Oakland, went four innings in his last start, and obviously another caliber of offense in this one. For a young pitcher, for a streaming option, probably one to avoid just because of the risk, although as a pitcher, I like him more than any of the non-Mackenzie Gore options for today. Now, Logan Allen is all right, not a great pitcher. The matchup is decent theoretically, although the Mariners offense has come alive recently, and that's a worrisome one. Similar category for Woods-Richardson in the deeper league. If you must pick him up, do so. There's two that I don't even think are worth picking up, even in the deepest of leagues. And the biggest fade of all is a pitcher who's had some success this year, but Zach Littell, I would not pick up under any circumstances. He's been horrible recently. He's struggled mightily. The Twins are maybe, other than the Mets, the hottest team in baseball, certainly the hottest team in the American League. They've been hitting incredibly with Correa on fire, Royce Lewis on fire. That outfield has come alive. I mean, they've got some fantastic offensive pieces. So with Littell struggling, the Minnesota red hot, the matchup isn't great. That's a pretty easy one to avoid. The other one is someone who I recommended last week, Cole Irvin against Atlanta, but I'm going to recommend fading him this week. He's facing the Yankees, which is obviously not a good matchup for left-handed pitchers. There is the odd chance, with Judge being hit in the hand yesterday, that Judge is not in the lineup, and Judge is the kind of player who, on his own, is enough to change plans for streamers. Granted, Irvin's still not a pitcher with great peripherals. His numbers versus current Yankees aren't great either. It's really just not a particularly high upside outing, and I think the risk is so high considering that, that I still wouldn't consider it. So to go through one more time, the first option, clear front runner, if possible, is Mackenzie Gore, who is clearly the best pitcher that's available in our streaming bracket of sorts. If you can pick him up and keep him. As far as Ryan Nelson, great matchup. Obviously not one to keep long-term, at least not in my opinion. Woods Richardson could have some long-term potential in deeper leagues, but for a stream, I wouldn't prioritize him. Now, again, if you're in a deeper league, this isn't a bad one to pick up and hold for future starts if he does okay, because one would think if he's able to bounce back from a bad start to pitch well against Tampa, he can do well against many of the other opponents he'll be facing. And Logan Allen, if you want to stream in a deeper league, is not terrible, although I think the upside isn't there. The two avoid Zach Littell at all costs. I suppose I'd take Cole Irvin over him, but I would not be particularly chomping at the bit to get on either of those for this week. And again, as I mentioned before, five teams have still not announced starters. And given the possibility of some of these matchups with cold offenses, you know, Milwaukee's going to announce somebody against the Padres. Maybe that'll be an opener situation. Who knows? The Giants and Cardinals for that Rickwood Field game have not announced any starters. Of course, that'll be a particularly intriguing one, not even from a fantasy perspective, but just the timing of the great Willie Mays passing with the Giants of all teams playing at Rickwood Field will be a particularly great sight. But the Astros have also not announced their starter against the White Sox. And to be blunt, the White Sox are terrible. So the likelihood is that if the Astros announce a competent starter, that immediately becomes an option, especially given what else is there. So I would expect that at least two of these options, if I had to take a wild guess, I would say from Milwaukee and Houston could instantly be viable for streaming options. So to break that out, and just to be clear, it's not Gore or bust given what we might have to come, but obviously I'm not going to speculate until we've had either bulk relievers or starters announced. And of course, if you're in a league like myself with starting pitching limits, those bulk relievers can really be even more valuable than streamers. Doesn't count as a game started, and you'll still get the four or five innings of hopefully effective baseball if you pick the right ones. The one other thing I wanted to talk about today was the quantifying unquantifiable stats idea. And this is going to tie into my piece on Friday. But with the Mets as hot as they've been, Francisco Alvarez is really one of the few variables when you look at the struggles that they've had in some of April and all of May, and look at the success they've had so far in June. Obviously, you know, Grimace, key variable, still undefeated in the Grimace era, of course.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
But Francisco Alvarez is debatably the biggest actual on-field example. There's a few examples to talk about with Alvarez, being the fact that the Mets have exclusively won in Alvarez's last 20 games, bar twice. The fact that Alvarez's catcher ERA with the Mets is over 2 runs lower than any other catcher that they've put out this year. Of course, that's Narvaez. Who was poor all around, but Nito and Torrens are excellent defensive catchers, at least in the case of Nito, with an excellent reputation with game calling. And of course, all catchers, your ERAs and everything, there's a lot of fortune there. At the end of the day, the pitcher bears the responsibility for that. But the Mets, going back to before Francisco Alvarez's return, are 18-1. In the last 19 games that Alvarez has appeared in. That is incredible for an otherwise mediocre team. And of course, this leads to a further discussion. When you hear someone like Alvarez being praised by every pitcher on the staff, by veteran pitchers like Jose Quintana, guys like Severino and Minaya, and every Met pitcher just raving about how Alvarez affected their game plan, even Sean Manaea talking about his desire to go fastball heavy and changeup heavy in his most recent start, and Alvarez decided to repetitively call cutters. And Manaea wasn't planning on doing it, but he did anyway because he trusted him, and it worked. Now, there is no quantifiable way, at least that exclusively attributes said success to Alvarez, to know what that brings to a team. Obviously, you can look at catcher ERA, but that combines the ability of the pitcher with the ability of the hitter, and of course, the ability of the defense as a whole to some degree. But with him, it's more than that. It's a level of giving comfort to the starting pitchers. It's a level of giving comfort to the coaching staff. It's a level of clutch play, and this is from a defensive perspective, from an offensive perspective, and as we saw in Edwin Diaz's first save attempt in over a month last week, even from a pitcher's perspective, just instilling confidence in pitchers, taking pitchers through innings, taking control of the game call. And none of these are contributing factors in WAR. None of these are contributing factors in really any composite metric. So when you have someone with a OPS around 650 right now, whose defense admittedly grades out very well, is it fair to call someone like Francisco Alvarez a top five catcher in baseball based off of intangibles? I mean, it seems almost suspiciously like many of us, or I should say many of us, like Dusty Baker was doing with Martin Maldonado with Houston. And funnily enough, I was talking with a friend in the offseason when Maldonado signed with the White Sox. And of course, Dusty retired. Wouldn't it be hilarious if many of those Houston pitchers just struggled mightily? Not the exact language, but we keep it family friendly here, ideally, with Maldonado leaving. And both of us admittedly are doubters that Maldonado playing two out of three games was the right way to go for Houston last year, given the success of Yiner Diaz. But Dusty was adamant about it, obviously someone far more wise than any of us. And sure enough, that to some degree has happened for Houston. Now, that's not to say that starting a feeble offensive catcher or even someone like Maldonado, who grades out poorly in basically every quantifiable metric of his game, be that offensively, defensive framing, even his throwing, which has earned him the nickname Machete, has still declined. It's not to say that those guys are the most valuable players and should start every game, but it's difficult to take someone like Maldonado and try and quantify his value, or someone like Francisco Alvarez, who's a legitimately good player in addition to all of the intangibles, and say, okay, well, you know, Alvarez is fantastic, and you know, some other catchers like a JT Realmuto or a Will Smith are fantastic. But how do we compare someone like, say, Will Smith, who is a clearly superior offensive player? Not quite the level defensively, but obviously if you were to look at it all around, quantifiably, he's a better player than Francisco Alvarez. Can we say that Alvarez is on that level because of these factors, which undoubtedly in the vacuum of the New York Mets are hugely significant. Now, would the Dodgers be better with Francisco Alvarez? Would the Mets be better with Will Smith? The reality is we don't know, but it's relevant. The idea that there's no effect and that it's all made up, it's all fugazi, is not the case. And of course, you hear rumors about guys being great and guys not being great. Jose Trevino in New York on the other side for the Yankees has gotten tremendous props. There's been, you know, some rumblings of discontent of JT Realmuto not being the best game caller, which is somewhat ironic given his status as one of the best defensive catchers we've seen in a long time, certainly one of the best defensive catchers of his generation. Ironic that there's been discontent about, or alleged discontent, I should say, about his game calling. So I'll talk about that more on Friday, particularly. And I'm going to go into a little bit more depth about even clutch adjustments. Of course, guys like even Javi Baez, who, say, are not, obviously Javi is at this point a liability. But if you look at what Baez has done in other environments, both in certain road environments with Detroit and significantly for Team Puerto Rico, he's a different player. He all of a sudden, he's facing the same pitchers that he is in the big leagues, and he's not chasing. And he's facing the same pitchers that he's facing in the big leagues. He's not swinging through the high fastballs. He's hitting laser beams all over the field. Not a coincidence. Obviously, look, fair enough, when you're facing lesser opponents, the kind of guys that, you know, are pitching in AAA or an indie ball, or, you know, maybe are pitching in a lesser league in Mexico or Korea. But if someone like Baez, who's mashing major league pitchers, especially given the success he had in the past, and obviously in Chicago, but even in that short spell in New York where he miraculously became an on-base machine and then less miraculously reverted to a worse version of his old form once he signed with Detroit, there are non-quantifiable adjustments that are made consciously or subconsciously by guys in those situations that I think could really change the way that we view players from a value perspective, both with fantasy and in real life evaluation. Obviously, you're not going to get any fantasy points for Francisco Alvarez's game calling or Javi Baez's Puerto Rico stats, but it is worth taking into consideration maybe streaming someone like Sean Manaea. Is Francisco Alvarez going to be behind the plate, or are they going to play Torrens tomorrow? I guess we'll have to see. But regardless, I want to thank everyone for tuning in and for listening. I want to thank everyone for the support in the articles as well, not just for myself, but for Paul and for Anthony. I know it's all appreciated. I will be back on tomorrow, and then Paul will pick up some of the slack this weekend. I want to remind everyone this episode was again presented by Bet Online. Remember to follow myself at NBakerNGB. Remember to follow at EthosFantasyPP. And remember to follow Paul Williamson and Anthony Cates as well. So thanks very much, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.